at times you sit down and you think, well, I've heard it all. What else is there to say about shutting the door? And that is what I'll be talking about today. The title that I've given, what I'll be talking about today, is Behind Closed Doors. And when Pastor said it on Sunday, mentioned it while he was preaching, I just smiled because that was what had been laid upon my heart to talk about. So, I don't know, is everyone okay where they are, or do we want to just come forward? Is everyone okay? Felicia, are you okay there? You can come forward. Okay. So, let me begin by asking, how many of us here like pain? I'm sure nobody will raise up their hand that they like pain, because yes, pain is pain. Nobody wants to be in pain. But the truth of the matter is that pain is pain, and pain is inevitable. And if we desire something new, as our theme for this year is, behold, a new season, I am doing a new thing. If you desire something new, then most times pain precedes that new thing. It's just like when you have lost a tooth, or when you're about to lose a tooth for another one to grow, you experience pain. When a mother is in labor and she's about to birth a child, she goes through that pain. And it's the same thing, you know, with this new season that we're talking about. If we truly, truly desire something new, then in most cases we should expect that there will be pain before it. And I don't think what I'm saying is heresy, because even the Bible tells me that God himself experienced pain in Genesis. When you go into Genesis chapter 6 and you read the story of what had happened on earth, or what was happening, and the Bible says in Genesis, I think, 6, verses 6 to 7, it tells us that, you know, God had looked at creation. Everything that could go wrong on earth had gone wrong. And God looked at what was happening, and there was pain in his heart. And the Bible tells me, one of the translations I read said that, you know, he regretted creating man, and it grieved him in his heart. That is to tell you that even God to experience pain before he could create the new world, because it was after that pain he called Noah and told Noah, this is what I'm going to do. And shutting the door is, I don't think it was just a word that just fell. I think it is what God really, really wants us to do now, because of what he's about to birth in all of us. God himself had to take Noah and his family and the animals he ordered, and he shut them in. So if God can go in, the Bible says he was in pain, and then it was after that he gathered these people and he shut them in. It wasn't Noah that shut the door. That's one thing I want us to know. I didn't see that too until I read this. I thought Noah got in and shut the door, but it was God that shut the door. And after it rained all of that time, there was a new earth. So shutting the door is biblical. And if you're experiencing pain before shutting these doors, just know that God too has gone through it. And the story that I want to base my message on today is from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Okay. 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. Okay. So they said to him, no, 4. Let me just read from my Bible. Okay, so this is English Standard Version. 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophet cried to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. Another version says, the creditors are on their way. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house? And she said, your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Then he said, go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons, and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another. Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Praise God. I'm sure this is a story most of us know, and we might have gleaned over it so many times. I have done that, but I think what jolted my memory was the shutting of the door and the theme. And this month, I've just been going back and reading, and you know, something new pops out all the time. Now, I started by saying, you know, I talked about pain, that nobody likes pain, but there are times that we have to go through pain for us to birth something new. Now, the story tells us that this woman came to Elisha, and the first thing that, you know, the first action in that chapter talks about the woman crying to Elisha. That means she was in pain herself. She was in so much pain that I don't know how she could even gather herself to go and meet a prophet. She had lost her husband. Her husband had left her, you know, in debt. So she had inherited her husband's debt. And not just that, the two sons from that marriage were going to be taken by the creditors to be slaves so that they can pay their father's debt. How much more can a woman take? So out of that pain, out of that desperation, she ran to Elisha. After all, her husband was a prophet. So who else do I go to other than a prophet himself? And the Bible says she cried to Elisha. And she gave Elisha, you know, her CV. You know, I am this, this, this. You know, your servant was this, this, this. How can this kind of a thing be happening to me? And in all sincerity, I am sure that Elisha himself thought, you know what, I really, really want to help this woman. I wish I had the money to give her to pay these creditors that are coming. But then Elisha did not say, okay, this is what I will give you. Elisha said, what shall I do for you? I mean, did Elisha not know what she was asking for? Elisha knew what she wanted. But Elisha asked her so that he would be clear that we're on the same page. I might be crying that this is what I want, and then the interpretation to who I'm crying to is different. So Elisha had to ask her again, what shall I do for you? And then he says, what do you have in the house? After she told Elisha what she had in the house, what did Elisha say? Elisha said, go and borrow, and then go back home and shut the door behind you and behind your sons. The first thing that I want to say here is that the person that desires a change, the person that is desperate for a change, has to do the shutting of the door yourself. Nobody's going to do it for you. Even God had to shut the door of that ark himself. This woman was told, Elisha could have said, okay, go and bring the oil, come here, and we'll do whatever we need to do here. But Elisha said to her, you need to go back home. Do this and shut the door behind yourself. Now, the lessons I've gleaned from just reading this story, I don't know, every time I read it, something else just keeps jumping out from it. But I have put them under like five subheadings, and that's what I'll go over. When Elisha told her to go, Elisha said, go and borrow. And then when you finish borrowing, you go back home and you close the door. The first thing I wrote here is obedience. In shutting the door, you need to be obedient. We heard during the retreat, this is what God is saying. I know Shapo said so many things. So many distractions. You need to shut the door. You need to do this. You need to do that. Some of us are even obeying. To be honest with you, some of us are at that point of obeying. But are we fully obeying? Some of us are like, okay, they've said I should shut the door. Okay, maybe I've reduced my social media time. Maybe I have reduced, you know, the habits, or I'm doing away with the habits. But it didn't just stop there. This woman required privacy. She required privacy. And that was why Elisha said, shut the door. Now, I want us to know that not all of our business should be in the public domain. And that is fact. If you get to heaven, go ask Joseph what happened to him, and he will tell you. It's not everything that you come out and you talk about. There's a set time for every single thing. And this is one of it. Elisha said, go, and then shut the door. But before she had to go and shut the door, she had to go and borrow. So what did she tell those neighbors? I sit down and I think, okay, I come to Nkem, please borrow me this bucket. I go to Yemi, please borrow. I'm going from house to house. And as I'm leaving, maybe my sons are dragging them. And everybody is seeing me. But what did she tell those people? She didn't open her mouth. The Bible did not tell us that she said anything. Not everything is meant to be announced to the world. She gathered these vessels and she took them home. I've said that, you know, not every dream and vision needs to be shared, especially at the initial stage. Even though this woman did not know what the vessels were going to do or what the essence of the vessels were, other than the instructions that she had been given, she obeyed. And she went into her place and shut the doors. And shutting the doors for this woman is quite significant, because when she got in and shut the door, because that was exactly what Elisha said. So that's why I said the first step of heading is obedience. Elisha said, make sure you shut the door. Shutting the door just takes you away from all sorts of distractions. You might think that thing is not a distraction, but the little things that you think are not distractions are actually distractions. For this woman, she could have gotten home and shut the door, but her windows are open and the neighbors are peering in. Let's see what she's doing with these buckets, or let's see what she's doing with these vessels. If she had not shut the doors, imagine what she would have heard those neighbors saying. Someone would have said, this woman is mad. That alone would discourage her. Someone else would say, I don't even know what, maybe this is even witchcraft. That would discourage her. But she went in and she shut the door from distractions. And in shutting that door also, remember when I was reading, I said one version said that the creditors are on their way. If she had not shut the doors, if it was me, I'll be looking out. Are they here? Are they near? Are they near? That is something else that would have taken her attention. But she obeyed, and she obeyed fully. Some of us are obeying, but we're not obeying fully. So when I say we're obeying, but we're not obeying fully, how much privacy are we giving ourselves behind those doors? What are the things that we're doing and we should not be doing even behind those doors? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:22, you know, that to obey is better than anything else. So, because it saves you, honestly, it saves you a lot of stress and heartache at the end of the day. Obeying partially is as good as you not obeying at all. So this woman went in, she shut her doors completely behind herself and her sons. And that takes me to the next point. Is still under obedience. What Elisha said to her was, shut the door behind yourself and your sons. So that tells me that she had to carry her family along. I mean, that was all she had left. Her husband had gone. The Bible did not tell us there was any other person anywhere. So this is the only family she had, her nuclear family. And Elisha said, shut the door behind yourself and these children. For some of us, you might think, oh, you know what? I don't even want to talk about my things with family. You know, yes, I agree. You know, they, like I said, the first thing is not everything that should be out there. until you have been given the clearance to do so. But the temptation would have been there for this woman to think, you know what, I will just put these children somewhere. Let me just do what it is that I've been told to do. But do you know that if she didn't have those two boys with her, I don't know how she would have done it. Because that means she would have had to be putting that down the jar of oil and picking it up. The Bible says that they were bringing the vessels to her. She had two boys. So one must have been bringing the vessel and one was carrying them away. So if she didn't have that support network, how would she have been able to do what she was told to do? She needed to carry those children along. The Bible tells us, look, that teach your children the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. I'm telling you, I am learning. From this story, I've learned a lot of things, I tell you. In my house, the children are here. We started this session this year of literally shutting the doors. We just gather in one of the rooms in the house, shut all the doors, switch off the lights. And why I switch off the lights is so that no one is distracted. I don't want anyone saying, Mommy, that person looked at me that way. That person pinched me. That person did that. So we shut the doors, switch off the lights, listen to worship. And I tell them, I'm not asking you to pray. I just want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. When we finish, tell me whatever it is. To you, it might be inconsequential. It might be insignificant. But what these children don't know is that every time they talk back, I've had to be writing down. And the things they say, scare me. Because they're talking to me. So it's like as if the Holy Spirit is using them to talk to me too. You would think they're too little to understand. Yeah, maybe the only person that is still not fully understanding is Nathan. So I have to pin him down. But the others understand and they say, and the things they say just blows my mind. It's the same thing with this woman. She had to carry these children along. If she didn't carry these children along, I wonder what would have happened to that woman. I don't know if by putting down the jar of oil, maybe the oil might have ceased earlier. We don't know. We don't know whether it would have taken her longer to accomplish what she did in that time. We really, really can't say. But what we can glean from that was she took what she was told to do. Shut the door behind yourself and your sons. And that was exactly what she ran with. She came home and shut her doors. Now, they've shut the doors, but the boys are with her. The empty vessels are there. And then she had this jar of oil. Sorry, excuse me. Okay. So I had to bring this from home. So she had this jar of oil. I think when we do things like this, it's more visual and it sticks better, especially for the children. So this was what she had, this jar of oil. And Elisha said, when you go in, after shutting the doors, you carry this oil and just pour. Let us just be sincere. If it is you and I, what would you do looking at this jar of oil? Even though you've been given instruction, what would you do? I'll just say, for goodness sake, this oil. Because if you go through the Bible, the oil they talk about is olive oil, and it's an expensive thing. So, for the woman, thank you, sir. So, for the woman, after her children, the next thing she had, that was why this was all she could tell the prophet she had. The next precious thing to her was that oil. And Elisha said, shut the door and pour. Pour how? So if I pour this oil, what will happen? Some of us will start thinking. And that was why at the beginning I said, let us pray that the conception, the thinking of God that we used to know, the way I used to know God, let us put it aside. Humanly speaking, I would have doubted. I would say to myself, what has this man told me? I came to him that I'm in trouble. He's telling me to pour oil. To do what? How would that oil, what will happen? Nothing. And that takes me to the next point. Her faith was activated. All Elisha said to her was, pour into all the vessels. And she did not query it. She did not Even if she battled within herself, she did not show it. Even if she was laughing and doubting within herself, she did not show it. She had to activate that faith that was in her. The Bible tells us in James that faith without works is dead. There is no point in you telling me I am waiting on God for, and you're not doing your own part. There is just no, if you're sitting down here and saying, God will do this for me, I believe him. Yes, but you don't get up and do what you're required to do. Just know that your result is dead. Even from the get-go, it's dead. It's not going to happen. This woman was told, just tilt it, pour it. And it must have taken her faith to do that. The Bible says if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. I don't know if we know what mustard seed looks like, but if we know what sesame seed looks like, it's smaller than even that. A mustard seed is tiny. It's like when you write and you put a full stop, that's what a mustard seed looks like. It's very tiny. So if you have that kind of faith, God says, you tell this mountain to move, it will move. From this woman, it just tells us that God does not need plenty to do plenty. You see that little thing? That was all God needed. If that woman knew that little thing, that thing she said, I have nothing except, was all that God needed, she wouldn't have said that. She would have been screaming, you know what? I have this thing at home. I have this thing at home. God does not need plenty to do plenty. What God requires of you and I is our cooperation with him and our willingness to yield to the unimaginable. This woman could have thought, what is this? How does this even add up? But she cooperated. She was willing to turn that jar of oil, tilt it, and allow it to pour. What is that little thing that you think is insignificant that you just overlook and you think, you know, I don't even know how much longer this will carry me. It's more than enough. We sing that song, what's that you have in your hand? Just bring it. The little boy that saved all those people from hunger, did he know his lunch would be enough? He didn't know, but he gave it up. He gave it up. I want us to write down that I need to bring my little for it to be multiplied. Because that was exactly what this woman did. To her, it was nothing. To her, she thought, well, it's just what I have. But that was what she brought, and that was what was multiplied onto her. And then in turning the oil, the jar of oil, sorry about this, my funny looking contraption, but I had to bring it from home. It goes to my next point, which is empty vessels. Empty vessels. Elisha had told this woman, go, and he said, go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors. Empty vessels are not too few. He didn't say, just go to some of your neighbors. He said, go to all your neighbors. So if she had 20 neighbors, she had to go around 20 houses to get vessels. And he said, don't even borrow a few. So she had the right to go to one house and ask for 10. She could have gone to one house and tell me, just bring all the vessels you have. I'll bring it back. She could have gone to just say, please give me a vessel. And it is what she has asked for, they would give to her. Now. Oh, thank you. So she gathered all the vessels and she brought them in. What is amazing in this part is that oil, pour it. That was what she was told. So you can imagine, if she went around and she gathered all these kind of vessels, this is all that will be filled.
That's right.
If she went and she gathered these sizes, this is what will be filled. The Bible tells us that the woman poured into empty vessels and they all stopped flowing only because there was no more space. There was no more room. There was no more emptiness to be filled. Imagine if she had filled this room with tiny, tiny things. This is the size and quantity she will get. If she had gathered even bigger vessels and filled this room, as long as there was room to be, there was space to be filled, the oil kept on flowing. What did you say? That's it. Exactly what I said. Because, you know, there's no saying. We really don't know. This woman, what she eventually got, you know, could just have lasted her and her children and not leave anything for the generations to come. But what said that she couldn't have left for her third and fourth generation? She could have. So you can imagine it is what we bring to God that is going to fill. If you come half full, it is that leftover space that is just going to fill. It is what you bring to God that is going to work with. You need, you and I, at this time, in this year, we need to prepare to come behind closed doors empty, completely empty. And it is not just, I came yesterday, I was empty and God filled me, the Holy Spirit filled me, and this was what I was told. So today, I don't need to be filled. No. We need to be filled all of the time. What this story tells me is that the amount of filling is related to the available space to be filled. It is directly proportional. So if I bring this, this is what I get. If I bring this, this is what I get. So tell me which one is better. To bring a bigger vessel, completely empty, to be filled. Every time we present ourselves before God, we need to be empty of pride. Completely. God, I know this is how you work. You need to empty yourself of previous knowledge. This was how God did it for this person, so this is how he will do it for me. Or last year when I was in this trouble, this was how God did it. He would do it the same way. No. Previous knowledge, empty yourself. Pride, empty yourself. Past glories, empty yourselves. You see, all these titles and accolades is only for this earth. It is only for this earth. Nothing follows you to heaven. In short, I was just listening to Mama was talking about Pastor Mrs. Evans that died. I follow her on social media, so I knew when she was ill and when she passed. And there was a message her husband said that I listened to. You see, this body, this us, we're just like balloons that is filled with air. Once it pops, that balloon drops air. The air goes. That is exactly what happens to us when we go. So all these titles, all these glories, all these crowns, we leave them here. So why can you not come to God all the time, relinquishing all of these things and coming empty to be filled? Knowing that one moment you are here and the next moment you are gone. And the Bible says, lay up treasures for yourself where nothing can destroy it. By now, in this time and age, I mean, we've been talking the last two Sundays, take your age and take it away from 70. Every one of us here, it is a common denominator for all of us. We are all going to have to go one day. So why not start building yourself to prepare yourself for that time? We don't want to go to heaven. And then God shows us, if you had come empty, this is what I would have done for you. If you had come empty, this is what I would have done for you. It would be too late then. Prepare to come behind closed doors empty, so that God can fill you with his goodness. The Bible tells us that in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there is peace. In God's presence, you can come into his presence and witty inventions, ideas will just be falling. But if you don't come empty, how can it be filled? If these vessels were not empty, how could she have poured the oil? How would the oil have been pouring? It is when we come empty that we get filled. And you can imagine this woman's amazement seeing the little oil that she thought was nothing increasing and potentially settling her debt. She didn't know what she was going to do with the oil, but in this time and age, you can imagine if a magician stood in front of us and did that, everybody would be screaming. So for her, it was a big, big wonder. This was a woman that started the chapter crying. And just behind closed doors, coming empty, see what God was doing to her. The next point that the next lesson I learned from this woman is very, very significant, I'm telling you. I've put it as no, not many words. She was inside that room, behind the doors, and did not say anything. The Bible only told us that the only time she spoke was to ask for another vessel. So she came in knowing that, you know what, this thing I'm doing here, I am not joking. This is business. God, it is either you show yourself, I don't know what this all will do, but it is either you show yourself or these children are gone. So our focus was on what she was told to do. She didn't have to talk. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, they sin. Even when we come into the presence of God, it is not the length of the prayer, as we heard. It is not the repetition that gets God. It is the quality that we bring to Him. This woman could have been screaming behind the doors. She could have been saying a lot of things. And with my children, I made it, you know, I've had to tell myself, you know, even when they're busy, someone is shoving somebody, I'm not saying anything until we finish that session. If you people finish yourselves, God forbid anything happens, we'll take it to God. God will sort it out. But during that time, nobody says anything. Behind closed doors, we do not require many words to be said. Most times, all you need is to be quiet. And guess what? How many of us prefer to be spoken to and not spoken with? There are two different things. Speaking to, you're just standing and talking and talking. You're not giving the other person a chance to even talk back. When we come before God, are we giving Him the opportunity to speak back to us? Are we just there talking? And that was why I said, this woman did not say many words. She was just quiet. There are times we just need to be quiet before God, really, for us to hear. Because for some of us, maybe there's a particular way God talks to us. Maybe some very audibly, some in His words, some in a vision, some, you know, in dreams. But what if God wants to talk to you this year? Not any other way, but in a still small voice. How would you hear when you're busy talking and talking and talking and talking and talking? You're going to miss it. This year, it's all about new. It's not what I used to know. It's not how God has been dealing with me. It is all about the newness. New. Come with a set mind that, you know what is about to happen. I've never seen it. I've never thought about it. I've never heard about it. The way God used to talk to me, okay, this year, maybe this is the way He's going to talk to me. Be open to anything. But when you're behind closed doors, when you bring your vessels to be filled, remember that it's not all in the talking. You need to be quiet at times. The last point I want to talk about was, after the oil stopped flowing, the Bible says in verse 7, she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest. So it was not alone for her to have gone crying to Elisha at the beginning. But she thought about what had happened and what she had to do. So she went back to await further instructions. She could have sat down there and be looking at the oil, not knowing what to do with the oil. She could have Call the neighbors. Okay, as you gave me the vessels now, come and carry, take away, souvenir. But she went back for further instructions. That's the last point. And I've written down here that the Bible tells us that after she had experienced this great miracle, this newness, she went back to the man of God for further instructions. And I've written, beware of who you share your behind the door experiences with. She could have called her neighbors and said, come and see what I have seen. I can't even begin to imagine what they would have told her. They would say, this is surely witchcraft. And you call yourself a prophet's wife. How did this tiny oil? You got the vessels from us now. How possible? She didn't call them. She went back to the person that gave her the first word. The Bible says she went back to the man of God. Beware of where you seek counsel this year. It is not everybody that is calling Lord, Lord. That is truly of the Lord, though. When you begin to experience this newness, who are you going to ask for counsel? When these ideas come, who are you going to go to? Please help me. This is what I've been thinking. How do I execute this? When the things that you've cried for, remember it was pain that took this woman to Elisha to even start with. When the cry, the tears that you've cried have dried off, who do you go to seek? Who do you go to sit with and ask, please, how do I move on? If she had not gone back to Elisha, would she have known that, okay, maybe she should sell this? She could have thought, you know what, these people gave me these vessels. Okay, out of gratitude, let me give it to them. But Elisha said, go, sell the oil. And then what is left? You and your son. So sell the oil, you pay your husband's debt, the debt you inherited, and then you and your sons can live on the remaining. This year, we just need to be very, very careful. It is not everything we need to take in. You need to try. I mean, this woman had gone to Elisha. She had tried Elisha. And he was tried and tested, and he had been found truthful. It is not everybody that you go to. I started by talking about pain. And talking about, you know, privacy and not sharing all of your visions and your dreams and with the public domain. No. Beware of who you go to for counsel. It matters a lot. If Joseph knew his brothers were going to do what they did to him, I'm sure he would have shut his mouth and would have looked for who to talk to. And finally, when this woman did all of that, I'm sure, the Bible did not record it, but I am sure that she must have given thanks to God because she didn't lose what could have been her future. She could have lost her boys. That was the only thing she had that was going for her. Husband had died, and this was the hope. This were the people she was looking out to see that, you know what, they will grow up and look after me in my old age. She must have thanked God that, you know what, this thing that I was about to lose has not come back to be the source of my pain. And that's what I want us to do this year. That thing that is causing us, because I believe strongly that there is no one that doesn't go through any pain. We all go through pains. This morning, Grace came to me and said, Mommy, my leg is paining me. And she woke me up from sleep. I was really, really upset, you know. I was like, when I get up, I will see to the pain. And then she went and came back with Daniel and said, both of them said, you know what? Our legs are paining us. I'm like, these children. And Pastor, we were praying for school. So, if you know me, you know these children like paracetamol. I don't know whether it's because it's sweet. So I said to them, you know what? When I get to finally, I will deal with this pain. And then Daniel said, you know what? We told Zara, and she told us that, oh, don't worry. It's part of growing pains. It will go. And I said, yes, it's true. Because towards the end of last year, she was complaining about her knee. And then being a doctor, you know, I just thought about the worst case scenario. And I ran to all that hey. And they checked her and said, it's growing pains. The ligaments are stretching. You can imagine. So when she told her younger ones, it just clicked to me that, you know what? I said, yes, Zara is right. But where I'm going is this. We all have pain. It was that pain that brought Grace to me. It was that pain that brought Daniel to me. It was this woman's pain that brought her to Elisha for solution. So there is nobody here that will tell me that there is nothing that is of a great pain to you. And today, I want you to know that there is help behind the doors. You see, those closed doors, you will find help there. God is ready to do something new behind those closed doors. Please, can we rise up and pray? Most of us thinking, God, when will this thing end? I don't want this thing to swallow me. I want us to go today before God and tell God that I bring this pain before you. Tell me what to do. You have told me to go behind the doors this January. I am behind the doors. Yes, I might be doing it partially. I might not be fully obeying you. I could be doing those sessions with my children and my phone is still there. Once we're doing that, I shut down everything. My phone could ring and then we've just lost that connectivity. What is that thing that we want to bring to God? And what are those things that you've heard today that you want to begin to do behind those closed doors? Because we could be behind those doors and not do anything significant. We could be behind those closed doors and not be productive. This woman went in with a little and she came out with a lot. By human standards, that is productivity. So what is it that we're doing behind those doors? Yes, January is shut the door. Behind closed doors, what exactly am I doing? What exactly am I asking from you? What exactly am I hoping to get, Lord? Speak to me, Father.